Say good evening to all of you. Certainly is a blessing to be with you here this evening and worship together, and what a privilege it is as believers to gather and to worship together, and certainly extend greetings in the precious name of Jesus, the one that we have gathered to worship and to honor here this evening. Before we take a look at our text here tonight, I just wanted to say we really do appreciate Sheldon and Ellen being involved with Gospel Express, serving on the executive board and also on the personnel committee. It's been a tremendous blessing to have them a part of the ministry of Gospel Express in this way. And we, obviously, the last number of years in prison ministry has been very different. And with COVID, of course, many prisons are closed to in-person ministry. Fortunately, the state of Florida is open, and we were able to, in December, do our regular crusade there in Florida. We were back down in January and did several seminars in Florida prisons. And but right along with that, you know, God has opened some other doors of opportunity for ministry in prison. And we're sending out Bible studies into new prisons. And we're also sending out actually about a year ago, we recorded both seminars. We do the From Bondage to Freedom seminar and the Conflict Resolution seminar. And by the way, we are not in competition with Gospel Echoes. In fact, Marv Beachy did the recording for us. And so what a blessing to have him and do the recording for us, do the video shoot and all that. And I am not sure the numbers we've sent out in the last probably 7 or 8 months that we've had it available, but probably around 125 or so seminars that we've sent out to different prisons. And so God's word is going out, not only through the seminars, but also in the Bible study ministry. And we see that ministry expanding. And by the way, our daughter Lori is the secretary for the Bible course ministry. And yes, we're always looking for people to help us with the grading of those correspondence tests. And so if you're interested in being involved in that way, in grading tests for the inmates, why, you talk to Lori. She'll fix you right up. And we're always looking for people to help us out in that way. And so, yes, certainly is a blessing to be with y'all here this evening. Philippians 3 is our text for tonight, and the two verses that are really key verses for our time together here is verses 13 and 14 from the, I'm using the New King James here tonight, and but verses 13 and 14, the Bible tells us here, the Apostle Paul is sharing, and he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I press on. I've entitled the message here this evening, Reaching Forward. Reaching forward. And yes, verse 13 talks about that. Reaching forward to those things that are ahead. I press toward the mark of the goal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, it's interesting. In verse 1, the Apostle Paul here says, rejoice in Christ. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You know, if we're pressing on, if we're reaching forward, that means we will be rejoicing in the Lord. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to be in a prison sharing a seminar, one of the northern states, I believe it was Pennsylvania. And I observed as during the seminar, during a session, there was an inmate that came in. He was in the back, kind of in the foyer there, and he kind of hung out back there and wasn't a part of the seminar. And during break, I had the opportunity to go back there and just chat with him a bit. And he told me something very interesting. He kind of, in a nutshell, told me his life story, his situation there. He was not a believer. He said, "I'm searching. I'm seeking." And then he went on to tell me, he said, "You know, my life out on the street was wide open. I had no time or consideration of what direction my life was going." He said, "When I was going from home to work in my car, I had the radio on, and at work, the radio was going, and at home in my apartment, the TV was going, or the radio or something." He said, "There was always something filling my mind. There was always something to take my attention." And he said, "I never considered the direction my life was going. My life was so busy, so full of stuff. Until one day, something happened. And I don't know what happened, but anyways, he ended up back behind the prison fences." And he said, "When that happened, all of a sudden, everything was quiet, and I got to thinking about really where my life was at." Now, that may be a kind of an extreme example, but at the same time, it really does make a point. I believe it's important for us to consider the direction we're going in life. From time to time, I think it's, yes, be intentional about evaluating and just considering, reflecting. You know, is the direction that I'm going in life right now, is it going to take me where I want to be 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, or even back it up 5 years down the road? You know, it's sometimes it's not those big decisions as such that catch us off guard, but it's those small decisions along the way. Maybe it's just a bit of a compromise. Maybe a situation comes up and we evaluate and consider, and it's like, well, you know, should I do this or should I not? Well, it's not a big deal. So we go ahead and we do it. So, you know, time goes on, and a little bit later down the road, again, something comes up and, I'm not sure. This may not be the best, but you know what? It can't hurt. So what do we do? And you see what happens. Those small decisions many times set a course for our life. And then down the road, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road, all of a sudden we wake up. And where are we at? Strained relationships. We've lost our family. And you know, I hear these stories all the time. And people losing focus, losing direction, and ending up at a place they never considered, they never thought they'd end up at, really. So, I believe it's important for us to consider the direction that we're going. And perhaps that is what the Apostle Paul is doing here in chapter 3 of Philippians. And, in verse 13, he says, you know, "I do not count myself to have apprehended." And in verse 12, he says, "It's not that I have already attained." And, you know, I look at that and it's like the Apostle Paul is realizing his human weakness. And my friends, yes, we need to realize our human weakness. We're still in the flesh. Yes. And sometimes people have the thought or the attitude of, well, you know what? I got a pretty good handle on life. I got this thing figured out pretty good. And what happens? They kind of let the guard down. And then what happens? Well, you know, I'm reminded of Scripture where the Bible tells us, to him that thinks he stands, take heed. Lest what? Lest he fall. That's right. You know, it's sometimes when we think, okay, we've got a good handle on this, and we kind of let the guard down that, we find ourselves in trouble then. But I see here the Apostle Paul is realizing his human weakness. He's realizing that, you know what, I've not yet, I'm still in the race. Yes, I've not attained. I keep pressing on. It's not that we're already completed the race. And there in verse 12, he makes it very clear. It's not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. You know, I see humility. I see humility. And may I say, my friends, tonight, that takes us along. That takes us a long way right there, if we have humility. And, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, he said, blessed are poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And I believe a character quality of poor in spirit is humility. Recognizing our need of God. Recognizing our need of God. And I see that as an example here. What I sense here, the Apostle Paul is really betraying here is the fact that, yes, I am a needy creature. I need God. God, I need your help. And I need your direction in life. And I'm looking to you to give me that enabling grace. That's kind of the long and the short of what I see here from the Apostle Paul. So in considering our text here tonight, verses 13 and 14, where the call is to reach forward, to press on, you know, at the same time, I believe here in our text, we see some hindrances to reaching forward. There may be some things that happen in life that are hindrances that keep us from reaching forward, pressing on toward the mark. Let's look at several of those here in our text tonight. Notice in verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. You know, my friends, tonight, as we reflect on who the Apostle Paul was before he was the Apostle Paul, you know, Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church. And do you suppose in his background, in his past, there was any regrets, any things that he wished he could have done different? Absolutely. Well, I see this as a potential hindrance to moving forward. Some of our past failures, past regrets, things that where we've maybe messed up, where we've made mistakes, where we've made bad decisions, regrets of the past have the potential of keeping us from moving forward. Now, the wording here is interesting of what the Apostle Paul here is saying. He says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. Now, I believe really the bigger picture of what he's saying here is not simply, okay, I'm trying to put out of my mind, I choose to put out of my mind what happened back there. No, but the bigger picture of I've dealt with the past by the grace of God. You know, we all know the account of Saul of Tarsus there in Acts 9 on the way to Damascus. He had authority from the rulers from Jerusalem to arrest any believers that were following Christ and bring them back, have them persecuted. And yes, he was, Saul was a destroyer of the church, persecutor of the church. And early on, we read of Stephen stoning, and yes, Saul was there giving his consent to it. And so he was, and several scriptures there in Acts talk about that Saul was making havoc of the church. And so, on the road to Damascus, all of a sudden, that bright light and a voice from heaven said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul's response was, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice from heaven was, "I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks." And Saul's response was, "Well, what is it that you want me to do?" And he said, "Well, go on into Damascus and it will be told you what you need to do." And the Bible tells us there that Saul was 3 days without sight and he was praying. You know, I believe in those 3 days, yes, God revealed himself in a very real way to Saul. And yes, Saul surrendered. And yes, Saul repented. And yes, God extended that forgiveness to Saul. And Saul received that forgiveness from God. And I believe that that is very much a key, is to receive, truly receive the forgiveness of God. And as a result of that, then forgive ourselves. You know, think about it. Saul could have said, "You know what? I've done such terrible things. I don't think God can ever use me in his kingdom work. Oh, yes, I know he's forgiven me. I believe he's done that. Yes, I have a peace in my heart. God has forgiven me. But you know what? I've done such terrible things. I just can't forgive myself. I know God can't ever use me." Let me ask you a question. Could God have used Saul in that kind of attitude? No, I don't think so. Not very much, not very effectively. But Saul was willing to, may I say, release it, forgive himself, and say, "Here I am. Here I am. Use me." And we see that reflection here, I believe, in chapter 3 as well. You know, it's not that I have already attained. I keep pressing on. The focus was at the right place. It was on Jesus. And reaching forward, pressing forward. And so, my friends, tonight, you know, sometimes the past, if we don't deal with it in a proper way, and what I mean with dealing with it in a proper way is through choosing to forgive. You know, whether it's things that we've done that have caused hurt to ourselves. In fact, several weeks ago in Florida, I was sharing a seminar, and one of the subjects we were talking about was forgiveness. And there was an inmate there that said, "You know, I just really struggle in forgiving myself because of all the terrible stuff I've done to hurt myself and my family. How are we going to do that? How are we going to work through that?" Well, may I say, it's by the grace of God, by simply accepting the forgiveness from God, by faith, believing that, yes, God has washed me, God has cleansed me, and yes, I am His. I can be His instrument. And yes, He has a purpose, a plan for us. And when we, by faith, accept that, then we can become an instrument in His service. And but sometimes people are not willing to do that. They are not willing to release, to forgive. And what happens then, they are chained to the past. In other words, they can't press on. They can't move forward because they're chained to the past of the hurt, the pain, the whatever, wounds from the past. And again, it may be wounds that we've caused ourselves, or then hurt and pain, rejection from others that may affect us in that way as well. So, the Apostle Paul is encouraging all of us here tonight. He says, yes, let's reach forward to those things that are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 15, he says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. Yes,
is encouraging all of us. Yes, this is the mind that we are. This is how we are to focus. So not only may the past regrets from the past hinder us, but also it could be accomplishments from the past. And notice the Apostle Paul's reflection here, verses 4 through 6. He indicates he was a model Jew. You know, he was born into the right family of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee, and as far as the law was concerned, he was blameless. He had it all together. And I suppose as Saul of Tarsus, he was quite happy with his standing, his position, and may I say, proudly, a fairly proud Pharisee, because he was blameless as far as the law was concerned. And obviously, his ambitions and zeal were misdirected. But on the road of Damascus, to Damascus, yes, that was redirected. And yes, by the grace of God, the Apostle Paul came forth. No longer Saul of Tarsus, but the Apostle Paul. Now, he is reflecting in verse 7 about those earthly accomplishments. No longer a proud Pharisee, proud of his accomplishments in the natural sense. But notice what he says. But what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. And not only that, in verse 8, he goes on to say, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. In other words, those accomplishments from the past, they're behind me. They're not helping me in moving forward and pressing toward the goal of being all that Christ wants me to be. It's nothing. I've laid it aside. May I ask you tonight, are there some accomplishments from the past that may be hindering you from pressing forward to the goal of being all that God is asking you to be? Something for us to consider. It could be in business, it could be a career, a relationship, it could be self-sufficiency, you know, the list could go on. It could even be where we have been involved in ministry. God has used us in ministry, but then we've lost focus. How sad that is. We've all seen that happen as well. So past accomplishments have the potential of hindering us as well. The third one that I see, third hindrance that I see here is in verse 2, where he calls us to be aware of evil workers who are like dogs or wild and vicious dogs that are very dangerous. In fact, I believe what he's talking about here is basically religious people that have been misdirected. They are misdirected. They are not embracing the true, pure Word of God. And they're causing others to stumble. They have veered off course, and they're causing others to stumble, hindering them from moving forward. And here I believe in this particular example that Paul is using here, he's talking about the Judaizers specifically. And they proclaimed in order for a person to be saved, he also needs to follow the ceremonial law, and specifically that of circumcision. That is what they were promoting. You know, and we look around in our culture today, you know, we see some of that happening as well. Very religious people who are misdirected and misinterpret Scripture. And what happens? They cause a lot of confusion. They cause a lot of, may I say, frustration. And they hinder the work of God in the hearts and lives of people. You know, Satan doesn't really care which ditch a person is in, just so he's not on the straight and narrow. That's kind of the way it works, isn't it? You know, the Bible talks about Satan coming as a roaring lion, but I'm wondering, too, you know, also talks about coming as an angel of light. And I'm thinking we see more of that here in our culture here in America. We see Satan coming more as an angel of light and deceiving and, you know, mixing just a bit of truth mixing a bit of air, I should say, in with truth. And my friends, that is very, very dangerous. Bottom line is this. If it doesn't align with the Word of God, it's not truth. That's just pretty straightforward, really. And so those are hindrances, three hindrances that I see here. There may be others as well. But those are the three that really stood out to me as I was meditating on that. Now, let's not dwell on the negative, but on the positive. The challenge then is to move forward. In verse 13, he talks about that, moving forward. And by the way, what does that look like, to move forward? How do I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus? You know, that verse 14, I like the way the New Living Translation puts it this way. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Several days ago, that was the first time that really caught my attention, that God is calling us. Wow. The call of God for all of us is to do what? Well, to press forward so that we may reach the end of the race and hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." You know, my friends, I don't know of any better words to hear than those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, that's our goal, is it not? Yes. How are we going to do it? By staying focused. And the Apostle Paul here reflects on that again, dropping back to verse 8, where he said, "You know, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." And, you know, the New Living Translation puts verse 8 this way. "Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Wow. That puts it in perspective. And I will confess to you tonight, that perspective is a challenge to me. Are really the things of this world that dim? You know what I mean? You know, any honor or prestige or whatever. Is it really that dim? And it really seems like what the Apostle Paul is focusing in on, bottom line is, we need to keep the main thing, the main thing. That is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really the main thing. That is really the bottom line. Paul's focus on knowing Christ. And yes, the earthly achievements, earthly accomplishments, they didn't mean anything to him. And that, yes, that perspective is a challenge to me. Am I that committed? Is it really, yes, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, that can be our goal, and may I say, needs to be our goal. And, you know, right along with that, as I was thinking about this, perhaps the other side of it as well is, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily that the things of this world distract us, draw us away from, you know, well, let's put it this way. Many times, it's the pleasures of this world that, you know, are alluring and draw us away. But the other side of it is, you know, we live in a, may I say, a dark world. And sometimes people lose focus because of, may I say, the darkness around them and all the, may I say, negativity around them. And they lose focus. They lose heart. And they lose, yeah, they lose their zeal for God because of that. Because they're so, what would I say, discouraged by the darkness. Well, my friends, that's not good either. No. But as we're connected to
Christ, yes, who is our living hope. And in Him alone we have living hope. And He is our source of hope. And this world is not our home. We're only passing through it. And in fact, the Apostle Paul here reflects on the fact that, you know, our citizenship is in heaven. We're here on earth as ambassadors, as representatives of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is our focus, is to serve Him, to represent Him in a dark and sinful world. And so, yes, let us not be discouraged and despair because of the darkness around us. In fact, the light shines so much brighter in the darkness. And you and I, as the light of the world, yet that is exactly what we're called to be, light of the world. Our light is the Lord Jesus Christ, demonstrating to a dark and sinful world the love of Christ. And so, may we continue to run the race. And you know what? If we're going to finish well, we need to run well. That's the bottom line. We can't expect to finish well if we don't run well. And so we need to press on. We need to keep that in focus. You know, bottom line is we've not yet, the race isn't over. We haven't yet attained. We keep pressing on. We keep moving forward. How do we move forward? How do we press toward the goal? 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible tells us that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. My friends, tonight, let me ask you, are you studying to show yourself approved unto God? Whose approval are you seeking? Is it God's or man's? You see, the Bible tells us that our main focus is to be our approval from God, our relationship with Him. And yes, Ephesians 1 gives us such a beautiful picture of who we are in Christ. Yes, we're special. We're called out. We're His children. We're sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8 talks about that. And so, yes, the focus is, may I say, to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Again, reflecting on that relationship. In James 1 and verse 22, the Bible tells us that we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And then in verse 25 of James 1, he says, but he that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I like the way Scripture defines, may I say, the Word of God. He calls it the perfect law of liberty. Christ has come to set us free from the bondage of sin and Satan, and give us that freedom. And we experience that freedom in Him. The perfect law of liberty. You look therein, not only just reading it, but applying it, continuing in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. That means that we apply the word of God. We lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And we keep pressing forward. We run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. My friends, that's the key. Looking unto Jesus. You know, there is a race that is set before each one of us. God has a purpose, a plan, a work for each one of us to accomplish. By His grace, we can finish well. And yes, it's only by His grace, by His enabling power and strength. May we run with endurance that race that is set before us. And again, the key is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And yes, you know, I'm also reminded of the account where a lawyer came to Jesus with a question. He said, what is the most important commandment? And Jesus' response was that it is to love the Lord God
with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he went on to say, and the second commandment is like this, to love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. My friends, tonight, I believe that's putting it in perspective right there. First of all, to love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. When that is my focus, my goal in life, what will be my actions? What will determine my actions? Yes, Merv needs to die. I need to die to the flesh. You know, in verse 10 of our text, he talks about knowing the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death. Well, in a way, in a sense, yes, we need to die to the flesh, may I say, daily as such. At least that's what I find in my own experience. And yes, when that is our focus, to love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then our actions that flow from that, yes, we'll love our neighbor. In other words, our relationships with others will be honoring to God. And of course, the key is our relationship vertically will affect our relationships horizontally. And I believe, yes, that is the key, our relationship with God. So really, what I see here, may I say, relationships, our relationship with God, through Christ, is more important than any performance. Yes, our life will demonstrate that. The fruit of the Spirit will flow from our life as we are in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. The love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance, and all that will be flowing from our lives because we are in connection, connected with the source, the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be flowing from us. Now, in verse 17 of our text here, he encourages us to pattern our lives after him. In fact, in the New Living Translation, he puts it this way. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your life after mine and learn from those who follow our example. The Apostle Paul has laid out a good example for us to follow. And he reflects then, too, on the fact that, you know what? Not everyone is following this example in verses 18 and 19. He talks about that. He says, some are living for the flesh, pursuing the fleshly lust, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, and all that, which will lead them to destruction. But he reminds us, as believers, we're called to something better, something higher. Our citizenship is in heaven. And yes, we look forward to the return of Christ. Someday he's coming back to receive us home to be with him forever. So may we, in the meantime, may I say, reach forward. Reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. My friends, he's calling all of us. May we press on. May we not be weary in well-doing. May we not be discouraged. May we not lose focus. May we not lose heart. But may we stay focused on, may I say, the main thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, he will give us his enabling grace and strength. He's promised, I never leave you, never forsake you. I'll be there with you. What a promise that is. Yes, we can rest in that and walk in that day by day. May God bless you.